Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've now joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
Joining me as always, the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Go ahead and scream your head off. We're miles from where anyone can hear you.
Engineering the show, as always, the amazing Timothy Robert Ray. Engineering the program, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show. You know, people have actually wondered, why does Tim have a hard time staying awake during the show?
Because we do sometimes.
And he's really not an axe murderer, at least as far as we know.
It's a joke.
But he's got that Timothy Robert Ray name, which is very axe murderer-ish. That's why we say that. Anyway, this is the show that deals with your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. This is how the show works. You get to stay totally anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest. This is the show where if you send an email, you will get brutal honesty. Oftentimes inaccurate because we don't know your whole situation, but just based as we can, we'll give you, if you want to hear what we think based on your scenario, send us an email. Don't get upset. Don't get, you know, boo-hoo. We're not very nice because we're not very nice. This isn't showing about being nice. This is a show about brutal honesty. And I think of all the programs that are out there in the Christian world, it's okay to have one that's about brutal honesty. And we don't have to boo-hoo and pussyfoot around everything because of hurting someone's feelings.
That's right.
But if you are inclined to have your feelings hurt, please, please, please don't email us because you'll only be so disappointed. All right, that's all I've got to say as we're going along here. You know, I miss these cameras being on. That was fun. We did our first.
Well, we can turn them back on again just for you pretend.
Well, technically they're on, but I mean, it was fun. It was fun video streaming.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to doing this video stream.
Well,
if you missed
it,
you missed it. But we'll be doing some more tests coming in the weeks ahead, and as we finally get all the bugs worked out, and we're putting in a. Although it worked fine, Tuesday, mm-hmm. We're putting in a. Faster internet connections here. So it'll be screaming.
Does that mean it won't be so far behind?
I don't know how that works because that it's got to go off into cyberspace and all that kind of stuff. But it just needs to be really solid coming up from here to wherever it is that we're doing. It's not so much the download speed problem, it's the upload. That's the hardest thing is to get the upload speed. Upload speeds are usually just a very small percentage of what your download speed is.
Yes.
So we are buying a really yo mama
uploader
connection here. So it'll be screen. They'll be coming in tomorrow to plug that in. So that'll be interesting, hopefully. If nothing else, my emails will come in really fast.
Yes. And then we're hoping to actually archive the video stream, right? So that people can go back.
Yeah. That's the plan.
And watch.
So we're still figuring it all out. So if it seems like we don't know what we're doing, it's only because we don't know what we're doing.
We don't know.
There you go. But anyway.
Trying to figure it out.
There you have it.
Okay, the article today comes from the Chicago Tribune. It's called Till Tedium Do Us Part.
Okay.
Up to 60% of divorces in the United States, in fact, stem from low conflict marriages.
Low conflict marriages, 60%.
Says a study by marriage researcher Paul Amato. Marriages that aren't marred by abuse, addiction, repeated infidelity, or other high conflict issues. Do you know that? Who that
is? Yeah. Well, I like that song. Domi arigato, oh. Paul Amato. Amato.
Domo.
Isn't that it?
No, that's
Domo.
Not it. Sorry.
I thought it was him. Okay.
Sorry, but your brain's working. I'll give you credit for that. Anyways.
Some would argue. Some would debate that point.
Well, it's working on some track, even if it's not working on my track. In other words, actually, the low conflict marriages actually account for the majority of divorces. So it's not the abuse, it's not the addictions, it's not the infidelities, it's not all of that.
So
it's
most marriages end for reasons that they don't need to end.
60%, right.
60, over half of them are
That's
just...
what this little study says.
All right.
Like having a fake diamond ring?
Possibly.
Yeah.
So where do such marriages go wrong? There's rarely a singular tipping point.
You know, I still think that diamond thing was highly irritating to me.
It was very irritating.
No, I could see if he told you it was a real diamond, and then after you got married
and he found
it was
but a diamond, right.
Then I could see there being hell to pay. But she knew it. He knew it. They discussed it, and she still married him, and then she's still ticked off.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Okay.
Anyway, okay.
All right. Let's move on. Shall we?
They say
that there's
let's begin, shall we?
There's rarely a single tipping point. More often, it's a slow erosion towards cohabiting strangerdom.
Okay.
Basically, we stop paying attention to each other. The ambient noise of life takes over. There's no big conflict. Couples have just lost touch with each other.
I hear ambient noise right
lost
now.
Lost the fun, so do I. Lost the fun, lost the moments
that,
of sustained...
That low rumble in the background, the fans are blowing on in here.
Because I'm so hot.
It's really hot. Ross is so hot. We're at the low fan. We need to put in a new air conditioning duct into this new... place what we built here.
Yes.
And we haven't got it done yet. And hence the...
The noise.
In the background. Okay.
Okay, so they've lost touch with each other, lost the fun, lost the moments of sustained attention because we live surrounded by this buzz. Sometimes the buzz is quite literal. One woman asked me, is it normal that my husband lays his BlackBerry next to us when we're having sex?
Oh my God.
This guy says, I don't know, which
What's
is odder that he's doing it or that you have to ask.
Oh, she has to, you know, he just wants to, doesn't want to miss an email or something.
Something that's going to pop into
his
inbox.
Hold on, the boss is trying to get a hold of me.
I guess so. They say technology is only part of the problem. People don't realize they're drifting apart because they're so overly bombarded with messages and stimuli, and they're crazy busy running, keeping up with everything. In the absence of a major blow-up, you just wake up one morning feeling, I'm not passionate about this person at all. Of course, some forces working against marriage are often overt. There are common traps that couples fall into: unequal power, the blame game, a disastrous war that no one wins.
Who has equal power?
Nobody.
What a dumb statement. Mm-hmm. All right.
Self-fulfilling prophecies where this negative fortune-telling goes on between people. There's something about yourself that you don't like, so you disconnect from it, from your conscious, and split off and project it onto the other person, just to name a few. Then they explain some things.
Holy psychobabble. That did me no good.
Well, it's not problems. They're not things that are legitimate for ending divorces anyway.
Here's the thing. All of that is very easy to fix.
Yes, it is.
What's sad is that people get divorced for reasons that they don't need to get divorced for.
Yes, they do. Well, there is another article. I didn't give it to you guys because I just printed it out. It was a study that they did in the UK. But it says affairs are no longer the top reason for couples divorcing, but falling out of love now, when people give the reasons on the survey. It's a survey of lawyers that they did, actually.
Oh, brother.
That falling out of love is now the number one reason for divorce.
That's just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
They destroy their own lives, wreck their own financial prospects, and traumatize their children for nothing.
Well, and it's just what we talked
about. All that other stuff is so fixable. It's also fixable.
What we talked about on Tuesday with the whole... Pat Robertson thing and people being so up in arms that how dare you divorce in the light of this and all of that. Well, there's people divorcing for all sorts of piddly.
Much less than that.
So does the person who's, has the wife or husband that has Alzheimer's is not there, do they automatically just lose their love and compassion for that individual just because they're going through this difficult time, or do they fall out of love too?
God, I don't buy into this whole falling out of love thing.
Love, I think, is that not you can love feeling. That person
love
whether they're there or not.
It has nothing to do with feelings.
But you don't
either
feel
love someone
that
or you don't. Feelings. You choose to love. Nothing or you choose not to love.
Feelings.
Yeah, it's not feelings.
Lots of people, if they base whether they were going to stay married on how they felt on any given day, all of us would be divorced, people!
I know. That's why...
Seriously.
People ask me how have my wife and I been married so long. It's because we don't live by our feelings and we're not honest with how we feel.
But there are people who think that if you don't feel that every day, there's something wrong and the marriage needs to end and you need to find the next one.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't work out with that one and the feeling goes away with that one, then they find the next one.
Never mind that they're violating God's principles. Are you kidding? I mean, who cares about violating God's principles about divorce? Man, they're violating God's principles about sex.
Mm-hmm.
The lady the other day, you know, we both love Jesus. We're screwing each other's brains out, but we really love Jesus. Really? Yeah. It's like there's a whole new version of Christianity today. I don't think Jesus would recognize it.
I don't think that he would.
Honestly, well, we claim that we pass off as a Christian. If you're a Christian, shouldn't you follow the teachings of Christ?
Yes.
Well, apparently not.
It bears little resemblance to what Jesus said when he was here, let me tell you, in a lot of these cases.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. That's our first depressing opening salvo. We will be back with your emails right after this.
Theoretically. Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Boy, I hear you. In my dreams, I feel you whisper across the sea. I keep you with me in my heart. You make it easier when life gets hard.
Lucky I'm in love with my best friend. Lucky to have been where I have been. Lucky to be coming home again.
You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails about all of the above.
Okay, next one says, I'm guessing there's not any way to tactfully and non-ego-crushingly tell my husband that I'm bored in our relationship, so I'm hoping you can help me find a subtle, but not too subtle for a man to pick up on way to tell that I'd like to spice things up. She says, we've been married for 6 years. We have 3 kids. He really is a wonderful, caring, hardworking man, and I'm a rotten person for feeling this way. He's just so danged uptight and never does anything surprising. Also, I'm a very touch-oriented person, and I'm sick of feeling like a roommate. I'd like to encourage some touch that's chaste enough to be in front of the kids, but not necessarily non-sexual. whatever that means. Now that my boredom is affecting our sex life, lost all interest, he is at least noticed that there's a problem, but I don't know how to nicely and helpfully tell him what it is. Any ideas? I did ask for more information. She's 30. He's 34. It's their first and only marriage. She did say this has been a reoccurring discussion. She said they're both introverts. So I can actually go quite a while on my own and be happy, but then I get really tired of it, and I'm still a woman after all. This morning we talked about it a bit, and I said that sometimes I would like more romantic gestures like flowers and notes and more touching, and also would sometimes like to do something other than go to a restaurant when we go out. He ended that conversation by saying, I just don't know what I can do, which really frustrated me since I felt like I had just spelled it all out. I think he feels like if he just waits it out, it'll go away.
You said you just wanted to do something other than go out to dinner.
Like more romantic gestures, flowers, notes, more touching. That wasn't spelled out enough for him?
Well, she's talking about going out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last thing he heard. Without just something other than just go out for dinner. He's, I don't know what else to do. Well, how about you suggest something? Why do you got to wait for him to do stuff?
Because that's what women do.
Well, they can do that and be miserable.
Uh-huh.
Let's follow her plan. Good
I asked her what it was like before they get married. She said we dated only about 8 months, but the problem didn't really start until after we were married. We were both virgins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not her problem. Yes. Her problem is, I tell you what, instead of writing me saying, how can I change my husband, and praying, oh God, can't you change my husband, how about you do this really radical thing and say, God, change me.
Mm-hmm.
Could you please change me?
Mm-hmm.
You can't control him. You can, however, control you. Hmm. How about you change? How about you be content?
Novel idea.
How about you just enjoy the fact that you have a husband who loves you, who's not out there screwing around with other women, who's not acting inappropriately, who's not looking at porn and masturbating his little brains. You know how many women would love to be in your situation, dear? Who would love to be in your situation, to have a good man who's faithful to her and not a piece of garbage. Oh, but I want more attention. Yeah, I'm sure you do. So do I. I would like lots of money. I'd like $10 million today. In fact, if you have $10 million, send it in today. If you do, I'll give you a copy of my book free. I mean, come on. We all would like all kinds of. I would like it. Every time I walked in the house, my wife ran up to me, threw her arms around me, and started making out.
Whoa. Hello.
That would be great. Wouldn't it be fabulous?
No.
Like gas for you.
No. No, it'd be to me. It'd be great.
I don't want to hear about these things.
I'd spend a lot less time at the bunkers.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, my. I would like all kinds of stuff.
She did add something at the end, so let me throw this in here. At the core, it's just that sex hasn't been as much fun as I hoped it would be, hence the uptight remark. And this is why I really can't talk about it with him. There's nothing I could say to him, she says. Yeah. So she's less than thrilled with their sex life.
Yeah.
Less than thrilled with his romantic
Look,
prowess.
I will say this. She says, what, we've brought this up a few times before?
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of argument couples have for 75 years.
Yes. So it's been reoccurring for what? Did she say six years?
Yeah.
It's going to be reoccurring,
reoccurring for the next 66 years. Okay? Can you get comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
This means you've got to keep going back to the well, keep priming the well, keep discussing the issue. Oh, okay, okay. And then she'll be like she normally is, and he'll be like he normally is, and then you got to go back and you got to deal with the issue again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
These women, they get mad because they have to keep visiting the same issue. That's what drives them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never understood that. You know, women by nature live in a cyclical. How do you say it?
Cyclical.
Man, why can't I get to talk today? Cyclical. Mm-hmm. Cyclical world. Cyclical. Everything about a woman is cyclical. You deal with life. Everything in your house is
cyclical.
Hey,
maybe that's why we're sick of it. Because when you have this cycle thing all the time, you're just done and puking sick of it.
They have their period every 28 days. And everything about it is cyclical, now that I know what the word is. And the house needs to be clean in a cyclical manner. And I got to keep cleaning the toilet, even though I've cleaned the toilet six times since we've been married. Why do I have to keep cleaning it? Because that's what it is. That's life.
We get quite ticked off and sick of the cycles, frankly.
Well,
so do I.
I will tell you. Yeah. I'm not sure a big you do.
Fan. Not a big fan. Most guys aren't big fans of the old cycle either.
No. But all the stuff that comes along with it.
But the point is that it's cyclical. And they keep, but for some reason, when it comes to their marriage, if they have to revisit an issue over and over again, they lose heart and they become so frustrated when everything else in their life is cyclical.
Well, if they understood that to be normal, I think that they wouldn't get so frustrated. But most people don't understand that to be the norm. I think that they think that you deal with it, you move on, and I shouldn't have to do this. Well, maybe a few times, but I don't think they understand that it's so normal. They need to hear those people that were married 60, 70 years that say that they revisited the same arguments, because then you know it's normal.
It is normal.
But they don't know it's normal.
Well, she knows it now.
Okay, it's normal,
okay,
honey.
Okay, it's normal, dear. You're going to keep revisiting this thing over and over and over again. And then pray, God, help change me. Help me to be more content even when things aren't the way that I like it. Instead of feeling that somehow you've been cheated and life is not fair to you and God hasn't been fair to you and I want a man who'll rip off my clothes in front of the children on a Thursday night or whatever the heck it is that you want, how about you get content with who you are and say, Lord, help me be grateful and thankful for who I am and what I have, and not, I don't need my husband or anybody else to be something that they're not. And really focus more on you. And then, but keep going back to the same issue. You need to tell him, hey, let's do something more romantic. And then come up, give the guy a suggestion. You want something? What do you want? You want a movie? Tell him, hey, why don't you take me to a movie? You know, it's like
they don't want to have to tell him, though. They want him to
bloody
do this.
Stinking dog.
I know, but I'm just telling you what the problem is.
You know,
is.
I take my wife to go buy her jewelry. You know what I do? I take her because I want her to pick it out. I don't know what to buy. I don't get it. I don't understand. I can barely dress myself in the morning. I still don't understand why this green does not match the other green.
I know.
They're both green. How can green not go with green? But apparently green cannot go with green unless it's the exact same kind of green or complementary type of green. I still don't get it. I don't know who came up with these rules.
Green is not green. There's different variations of green. They all don't go together.
Bloody stinking.
You're just lucky you have me in your life, Mark.
I know I am. So...
But the unrealistic expectations that
they
have.
I know, but can you imagine my wife? I want him to go pick out the jewelry.
But there are women who do it.
Oh, I know it, and that's why they're miserable. Yeah. The difference between my wife and these other women is my wife doesn't have unrealistic nonsense expectations.
That's right.
Are we really living in marriages, you and I, and dynamics? I mean, are we the rarity?
Maybe. You know, I don't think so. I think about 50% are just crazy. It's getting higher.
The ones
and higher.
That we hear from, that's the problem. There may be 50% of the people that are out there that live and get it like we do. But
yeah,
we don't hear from them.
Shows.
So 100% of what we hear may be the 50% that's crazy about this stuff.
If and it drives them nuts. Sense. Look, sweetheart, you're going to have to keep going back to this over and over and over and over and over again. If there is one argument in my relationship that we have debated over and over and over again, is how much touchy-feely there is in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How much?
Because there isn't enough, or there's too much.
Yeah, I'm sure it's too much. That's the problem.
Too much. Yeah, that's why Mark complains. That there's too much touchy feely.
Stop with the touchy feely already.
Debbie complains there's too much touchy feely. I could imagine that.
Yeah, maybe.
Stay away from me, you pig.
Get away.
So this whole idea. I mean, we come back and we revisit it over and over and over and over. We just.
See, I wonder what she thought sex was going to be like as a virgin going into her marriage.
This lady.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times people have real
But what
unrealistic expectations?
Well, a few weeks ago we had an email from a guy too that whether. He ended up watching porn, but even if he didn't, just what you see on TV and in the movies sets you up for a great disappointment.
All
I promise
is watch
you.
Soap operas and you got rough sex, crazy, kinky.
Well, all you
got
to do is watch
happening.
What's on normal TV. It doesn't even have to be.
But even there, with the sex, say, can we do this? Let's try that. Why don't we try this?
But I'm sure she wants him to do that.
I know she wants. She also would like $1 million.
This is what you don't understand, people. If you want something different, you have to do something different.
But they don't want to do that.
Don't sit there and cry and wait for the other person. Seriously.
That's why they're so miserable.
See,
and life sucks for
them. I think that like when I watch gymnastics, hey, can we do that?
Oh, gosh.
When I see the guy on the pommel horse and he dismounts, I'm like, that'd be awesome.
Ross. Check your filter there, boy. Come on.
That's hilarious.
Good heavens.
Or the rings,
Yeah, the Iron Cross.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Cross.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, it's just unrealistic expectations. These women think that the men should be this way. And there's it's vice versa, because men who have these expectations that their wives are supposed to be these sex kittens prowling all over when they get home. And I know you would say that's not an unrealistic expectation.
What is that?
No, the lawnmower.
The lawnmower. The window's open here because it's so stinking hot in here.
Now you can now hear the lawnmower.
Now I hear the 3 minutes going by.
I don't know.
But that's, you know, it says unrealistic expectations, I think, is the
number one
curse on marriages.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for stuff that is happening, but it's for stuff that is not happening.
And what they wish and what they want.
And they become unhappy and unsatisfied and Look, you got to work at your marriage. You just got. This is what it is. That's what it means to work at it. You keep revisiting the same thing over and over. And you'll tell him you want more of this. Oh, okay. And then he'll give it to you for a few weeks or a month or two. And then he'll cold off again. And then you're going to have to remind him again, hey, I want more of this. And just, but don't get in, oh, I can't take it anymore. And I'm so tired of having her. You're the people that end up in divorce because you're so miserable. And you stay miserable for the rest of your lives. How about you take this guy who loves you, who apparently seems like a good man, and just try and work on him.
Help him succeed
as being the kind of lover you want him to be, and don't anticipate or expect him to be a certain way. You work at it. That's what you got to do.
And guess what? He might not ever get it. You might just have to be very happy with life the way that it is.
And heaven forbid.
And what are you going to do? Be miserable?
And people think they're being robbed by God.
No.
Where is God? Why doesn't God give me what I want? I don't know, because maybe God isn't into giving you what you want. Does this dawn on anybody? That God doesn't wake up every morning? I was like, he doesn't sleep, but he doesn't wake up. Oh my gosh, what can I do for Susie to give her everything she wants?
Not likely.
And make sure her husband is just exactly everything that she wants. Good grief.
Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. Okay, we don't really have enough to... Let me see what I can start here.
All right, what do you got over
there? Oh, here's a short one.
All right.
Up against the break. Hello, sirs and ma'am. I'm a ma'am.
Madam, which one's
no,
the ma'am?
No, I'm a ma'am.
Oh, you're the ma'am.
You're the sirs, I'm the ma'am. I'm trying to understand why, after the institution of marriage has been around for so many years, why is finances still such a big problem? Why is it that when you marry, you become one, but separate finances into accounts? I'm 27 and looking to get married, and out of many questions, those two puzzle me, he says.
I don't know what he's talking about.
He's saying, why, if marriage has been established for so long, why hasn't the financial part of it gotten figured out? Why is it that finances end up... This is what he's asking. He must...
I don't know. I think that's by and large a myth. I know some people struggle with marriage finances, but in all the years I've done this, and a lot of you guys who listen to this show nonstop for the last couple of years, you know how many times we get email about finances? Almost never. This idea that money is one of the big arguments in marriage is not true.
And most people do not separate finances into two accounts.
No, they
some
don't.
People do.
I just met with a couple where, honestly, finances
was their big deal.
Was one of the issues.
But that's I'm telling you, it's the exception.
It's
not the rule.
And I'll tell you what it was. Right after this break.
On May 22nd, 2011, the lives of thousands of people were forever changed by a violent tornado that tore through Joplin, Missouri, leaving in its trail a devastating path of destruction. Suffering great loss, the people of the city, with great pride, continue to rebuild and restore hope to its community. January 6th and 7th, 2012, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage will be hosting a marriage seminar in Joplin, Missouri, free of charge for those suffering financial hardship due to the storm. Partner with us by going to celebratefamilies.org, and with your tax-free donations, we can strengthen marriages and families in their time of need. Go to celebratefamilies.org and help make a difference in the lives of others today.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
She got big red lips, she got big brown eyes, and she treats me right. It's a big surprise, she won't do anything that she said she would. She makes me feel good, she makes me feel good. I ask her, come here, baby, she tells me no, no. I ask her, drive me here, she said, drive your own. She likes to race my motor and slam my hood. She makes me feel good,
she makes me feel good.
Sounds like Leslie when you were dating her.
Down,
yeah. Grab your own, bug off, get away.
A very special love, she makes me do what no one could. She makes me feel good, she makes me feel good.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, where it is our joy, our privilege, our quest every day to make you feel good. No, it's not.
Actually, it's quite the reverse.
Quite the opposite. We try to make you feel like crap. I don't know why you listen to the show. Anyway, go ahead.
So, you know, I do see where the marriage, you know, the question about finances can come up within marriage and stuff. I just met with a couple where they were looking at divorce, and finally one of the main issues for the guy was that the wife seemed to have no respect for the husband's desire to follow budget. She would just spend, but it was her way of kind of being seen and just making herself happy because apparently he wasn't there for emotionally. So I could see in that perspective.
Yeah, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it doesn't come up.
Right.
It definitely comes up.
But I can even
I'm
see
just saying
for
it's
his.
Not a major issue. For most people, whenever people talk about, in fact, most of the interviews that I get when I do radio,
they
or television,
ask
they
the
say,
question.
Well, now they say, oh, the biggest argument in marriage is finances. And I look at them and say, that's not true. And they're always stunned because it's not one of the biggest.
It's just
for
an
some people, it is
myth.
Big.
But do you think it
can
come down?
And some people, it can be huge, but it's not. It's not one of the. All I'm saying is not one of the big ones. People
could it
have
be,
a lot
though,
more issues.
You know,
than money.
Do we join? Do we have a joint account? Do we keep separate? Is my money, your
yeah,
money,
well, see,
your
in my
money,
mind,
and those
I
types
think,
of things.
You know, I mean, work it out. Everything in marriage is negotiated. I think the smartest thing is to keep your money all together.
Right.
But sometimes you negotiate it out. My wife does have a separate account, just because I choose to give her her separate account for her own. Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
She can do anything, but I pay for everything. I pay for, out of our joint account, pays for the house. And
that's
the,
her
the,
mad
this,
money.
It's just her mad money. This is her wishing. Now, if you want to set up a separate account for your spouse where they feel some sense of autonomy, I mean, come on, it's a little insulting to have to always go back and beg for money. It's like, you know, I've seen the problem where the guy will. You know, they only have the one account, and she's got to beg him to do anything and get money anywhere. And I just think,
well, that's not fun.
Well, how humiliating is that for her? Don't be a jerk. At least set up her own
Don't
account or something.
Like a crank.
But is that, I know that people say, like, even that situation is about money. I think it comes out in the money, but
it's really not
is it really
money.
About
yeah.
something else? Like what you were saying, Ross, she spent too much money in, but it's not really about the money. It's where it
but to him
ends
it was.
Up being demonstrated.
To him, it's about the money. Because that's, you know, his time, his effort going into securing his family for the future. She just recklessly
but
spending.
It's still,
to him, it's about money.
I hear you saying that, and I still don't hear that that's about the money. I hear that's about who he is as a man. I hear a lot of other things, but I still don't hear that it's about the money. I still hear something else behind it when you say that.
You know, I will say this for couples who do negotiate it out. This is my money. This is my, if you lay out the rules, then live by the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Part of the problem is that these people, they'll set it up a certain way, and then they want to break the
right.
rules.
Yes.
And then that's what causes
other,
problems.
And that causes problems.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to separate, like this guy's question, why do you become one and separate your finances?
You don't have to.
Some people
to
do.
Yeah. Some people do. If you choose to do that, these are the things you talk about ahead of time. What are we going to do?
But well, y'all really should talk about it ahead of time.
Oh, absolutely should talk about
because
it ahead
of time. Because if you want separate and she wants it together, y'all going to fight forever about that. Don't marry someone who has opposite financial
ideas. But you know, here's the advantage, the great, huge advantage of getting married young.
I didn't have any money.
Because when you get married young, you don't have any money, and it's mm-hmm. always just our money.
Yes.
And you always just have the one account.
That's
and you
good.
Build a
That's
life good. Together. And there is none of this nonsense.
That's good.
It's you guys who wait so puking long to get married. Because you know, oh, I can't get married too young. God forbid we get married too young.
Yes.
Ah. And then you wait until your 30s to get married, and then you're really miserable. Because
mm-hmm.
everything's an issue. And it's my money, and it's his house, and it's my car, and it's not, and I put this account is in mine,
and
really, that's how you want
this
live
kind
your
of
life.
A budget, and
you know, hey, look, if that's how you look, and even that'll work
mm-hmm.
as long as that's how you work it.
Mm-hmm.
You negotiate it out, and that's the way you want to live your life. Fine. I just don't know why people do that, but you know, you're supposed to be one. How about you build a life together?
To me, that implies your money is together, but not everybody does it that way.
Does what way?
Keeps the money together.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, no, I know a lot of couples that don't. I always think it's odd, and overwhelmingly, it's people who marry later.
Right.
I don't think I've ever met, I'm sure there's always exceptions. You can never say never. But I don't think I've ever met a couple who got married young that
no.
money was that big of an issue.
No, I don't
and
think
they
so.
Never
it's the
had
older ones,
my
right.
account and your account.
Sure.
It's the
it's
older,
the older ones.
Ones,
man. It's the guys you went to, you're almost 30
mm-hmm.
and later, and it just becomes a big stink, and particularly for remarriages. Holy moly! Is that a big issue?
Mm-hmm.
It's my money. This is your money. This is my retirement. That's your retirement. This is my inheritance. That's your kids' inheritance. And, oh, it just gets really complicated, you know? Again, even that can be worked through and can be negotiated.
Yep.
You know, all of it can be, but you got to negotiate it. At least if you're going to negotiate, live by the negotiation.
Don't change people midstream.
People are always changing midstream on stuff, so. But all that to say, I still think in the great scheme of things, you know, people always say the biggest problem in marriage is money and then communication and then sex. And I'd say it's completely the opposite. I'd say, first of all, it's about sex.
Well, according to what we get.
Oh, yeah. And then very rarely is it really about money. And even oftentimes when it is about money, it's really
about something else.
Not so much about the money as it is about other issues. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Okay, this email says, first, let me say I really enjoy your radio show and your articles on your website.
Which I personally sit down and write for hours on end. It's all about me. I love me.
Okay, you big fat liar. Your nose has grown to this other side of the room. Now, do you want to tell the truth?
Yes, I want to tell the truth
to
everybody
Diane.
Right now. I want to tell everybody right now that I personally sit down and write these articles hours on end because it's all a labor of love for me.
It's still growing. Your nose is still growing.
All right, Diane writes them.
Thank
but
you.
It's my thoughts.
It is
true.
It is your thoughts.
It is.
And it's everything that you say. I just
takes,
put it on paper.
She works it out, and then she intelligently sits down and writes up what I've been blabbering about.
That's right.
And it comes off as a blog. So, technically, the one who actually writes it is Diane. I must confess.
Yes, there you are.
She puts to paper what you just speak.
Pretty
That's
much.
Right.
And sometimes
describe.
I'll gungarize it. I'll take it and I'll say,
I'm
well,
describe.
Don't say it this way, and maybe say it this way. You know, that's easier for me.
And
but that's not unusual. Lots of preachers
yes.
have people who ghostwrite things for them. It's still their
yeah,
thoughts.
That is kind of in essence.
What?
A scribe.
Scribe, yeah. Try mm-hmm. and yeah, sit down with
but a lot of But a lot of teachers do. I mean, a lot of Bible teachers do this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't literally sit and write all those books. They have people who write
right.
the books, but they're all based on their teachings.
Right.
And then they edit them and, you know, over. But anyway.
And sometimes he says, that was really good. I don't remember saying that. I said, you didn't. That was mine.
That was mine.
There you are. There
See,
you are.
I never
it.
Had that problem. Nothing I say is that good, so.
Yes, it is, Ross. You just got to sit down and write it. You got to get it. Gotta
why
get
don't
it.
You?
Well, I'm too far too busy. I'm sorry.
If you
I'm
pay her, busy. She'll do it for you, too.
I'm far too busy to take on any more ghostwriting
I
responsibilities.
I do. I pay her with my kindness.
You do.
Yeah.
And
oh,
my
yeah.
uplifting words
Anybody
of
listening to this show knows that that's a big fat lie, too. Your nose is growing on your side of the room as well. All right.
All right, what are you talking
her
about
question
now?
Is, says, my husband had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I should ask if your marriage seminar is appropriate for a couple still trying to work through that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Or should they wait until they feel the marriage is more stable?
No. What do you mean? That's the same. Like marriage seminar is dangerous.
No. You should go. You should go.
I don't think we can handle your seminar. Do we have to wait till we're more stable? Because you're pretty weird.
Well, because sometimes if it can just rip off all of the scabs and make it real difficult, maybe.
You think that's what she's talking about?
Possibly, because some of those seminars are like that. You know,
yeah, it can. That's true.
Especially if something was real new and the wound was still raw.
Yeah, no, that's not the case with mine.
No, you're safe.
We have people who newly get divorced who sit down and watch my seminar and as a result get remarried again.
Or on the brink of divorce.
Many, 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 many times.
Yes.
So my particular seminar is one of the easiest seminars for marriage you will ever attend.
Actually, there were friends of mine who he had had an affair. And it was 6 months old. It was just friends of mine. 6 months old from the time the affair happened. And they came to see you. And it drastically helped them heal and deal with the aftermath of that affair. So it was very helpful to them.
Yeah, the seminar is approved of just about everybody and anybody. Because it's just basic stuff. You know, now, I've got much stronger opinions that you hear on this show. This show, I wouldn't surprise me if this show shocks some people.
I'm sure.
Oh, it absolutely shocks some people.
You know, because they think I'm just the wonderful, most nicest guy in the world who never says anything controversial because they see my DVDs on marriage. Then they hear what I really think. And they're, wow, he's kind of intense, you know.
In fact, people have written as such, that they saw you or they saw the DVDs and they thought that you were going to be this kind, helpful man. And then they wrote into the show and they were quite disillusioned by what you said to them.
I know, and we keep trying to warn people at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that the seminar is that way because I don't deal with heavy topics.
You're not dealing with somebody's personal issues or their own stinking thinking.
I'm just dealing with general stuff.
Yes.
So Christians love it. Non-Christians love it. I just got some emails this week, I think twice, from Saudi Arabia or something. They're still trying to get me over there.
They do want you to come.
You know, even the Muslims. I got one from a Muslim guy who says, man, your stuff is perfect for...
Yes.
For...
wasn't that when they won the Hindus and the Muslims and everything?
Oh, yeah.
I sent that to
you. I've had Hindus been in our thing. They love it. I've had Muslims in our thing that absolutely love it. Christians. So because the general concept of marriage and marriage healing and how to think solid about marriage is received by all cultures everywhere.
Yes.
There's nothing shocking about this stuff. It's helpful. And people walk, okay, man, that really helped me. Oh, I see that. And these are all helpful things. Now we start getting into your personal lives, particularly from a Christian worldview, then I've got much stronger opinions. Particularly when you're a Christian and, I don't know, you're screwing each other. We love Jesus, but we're committing adultery. Yeah, I got a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gee, you were funnier on stage. Well, yeah, but we weren't talking about people committing adultery.
Right. You weren't talking about the heavy stuff.
You know. So,
at all.
And the singles DVD that we just came up with. In fact, I told you, I was a little concerned because so many people... because they've seen my stuff. So
yes.
The singles DVD is blatantly strong from a Christian worldview. If you're a non-Christian, I think at least you can relate to it. I think they can still, even non-Christians, a Muslim can relate to it.
Pointedly Christian.
But it's very decisively from a Christian worldview, teaching from the Bible about how to approach relationships and stuff like that. It's not so ha-ha-ha funny for everybody.
No, you're not entertaining.
But it's more powerful and more effective.
Yes.
For Christians who are trying to figure out how to do life right.
So it's straight in your face teaching.
Yeah, there's
those
different layers of the stuff. But the seminar, anybody can benefit from that Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar.
Okay.
I'm stunned at how generic, actually, it is in helping people.
Yes, across the board. Okay, now there's more. That's her second question is, I have heard that if an emotional affair is not consummated, and even if both individuals stay with their spouses, that any time in the future, whenever they are in the presence of each other, those same feelings will return. Is that really true?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be consummated. It has nothing to do with it. You can consummate an affair with somebody, and every time you see that person from years on, you can still feel those feelings race up.
Yes.
Or if it was just an emotional affair, you get with that person, you will still feel those feelings race up. Good grief. You can see an old boyfriend from high school.
Yes.
And have those feelings just race up.
Yes. She wants to know, does that mean that in the scenario that his old feelings for her would return, even though he keeps telling me how sorry he is and how once the affair was exposed, he really thought about her personality and characteristics and that he can't believe he was ever attracted to her at all and that he absolutely feels nothing for her now?
But they can. That's why he shouldn't hang around with her.
No, she's moved away now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But is it possible he would start feeling for her again? Yeah, of course. But listen, anybody can feel for anybody.
Yes. Because her last question is, if all of this is true, does that mean he doesn't truly love me?
No, it doesn't.
Not at all. Nope. Not at all.
You know, it is. This will rattle some people's heads. Certainly, from the standpoint of polygamy, which by the Bible really does not condemn,
right?
And lots of people in the Bible had more than one wives. Apparently, it is possible to love more than one person. This idea that if someone feels something for someone else means they can't feel it for you is not true.
That's not true. You can
now.
Love.
We don't have polygamy today. At least we don't as of right now. God help us when we get to that mess. So that's not an issue. But you know, for anybody, look, my wife could feel something. She allowed herself to feel something for somebody else. She could.
Sure. Anybody can.
Anybody can feel anything from anybody. That's why you have to be smart.
Yes.
And intentionally watch what you feel and who you get a buzz around when you're around them and how you interact with them. And there are some people you might get around that, boy, you really, if you'll be honest, really enjoy it a little too much.
Yes.
You know?
Dance a little too close to the fire.
I like this lady way more than I should.
And I should stop coming and doing the show with you guys.
Yeah, because Ross, you know, he just he's so attractive to both me and Diane, which is very sad, you know.
Well, it's very scary if he's that attractive to you, let's be honest.
But I mean, you know, it's feelings are feelings. But why women care so much about feelings is disturbing to me. But it's not about feelings.
Well, because she doesn't want him to have those feelings for somebody else. It's quite problematic to think that your spouse doesn't have the feelings for you, but they have them for another. That's problematic.
Well, they just stay with the other one. That's all. But can someone still love you and have feelings for somebody else? Yeah, yes. That's why you make sure you don't let them get near close to the people that have feelings for them.
And she said, is that why affair recovery books say you must have no contact forever with the other person?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, you steer clear.
It can roar back to life.
Yes, it can.
In some cases. Now, in some cases, you can have an affair with someone.
And go, what the heck was I thinking?
And hate that person.
Yes,
you can. Because of the results of that were so damaging to your life.
Yep.
That the mere sight of them would make you vomit.
Yep.
You know, so that's possible as well. But the thing is, you got your wife. Love your wife. Love your husband. Don't have boyfriends. Don't have girlfriends. Okay? Don't go over some lady's house and
have wine and coffee.
Wine and coffee with her in the afternoon when her husband isn't home. I mean, all that is so obvious. You just don't do that. Mm-hmm. The reason you don't is because anybody. See, people talk about, well, is it possible if they fall in love with that one? You can fall in love with anybody.
Yes, you can fall in love with multiple people.
You spend too much time with someone and pay too much attention to them and laugh too much at their jokes and stare too deeply in their eyes.
Yep.
You're toast. That's why you're not supposed to do it. That's why people, well, maybe I miss my soulmate. No, it's because you're looking at someone you shouldn't be looking at, paying that much attention to them.
Nope.
And there you have that.
Okay. Do you want to take a break?
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with our final segment right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up. Kids who could go on to college but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late-night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living United, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
It takes all of us working together to make a difference. Find out how you can live United for Education. Give, advocate, volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete three Kids Flag Pages. designed for children ages 4 to 11. The Kids Flag page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
I never let my feelings show. I never let anybody know just how much I was so deep in love. But now that you're in my arms, I'm gonna stand on the rooftop, climb up a mountaintop, baby, scream and shout. I'm gonna sing it on the radio, show it on the video, baby, leave no doubt.
You're watching our fearless leader.
He's
play
so
with
confused.
These magnetic
I'm
beads.
So
I'm trying to bail us out here.
You're so confused. You reset the timer. We went to the last segment.
I'm like,
friend.
What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. I'm over pushing buttons. I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
This is the final 10
it's like,
minutes
that's not
here.
The lead in music. I'm like,
we're not finished with our new show.
It is.
We haven't started a new one yet.
Welcome to the
focus,
Ross Krzyzewski program.
Focus, man. Focus.
All right, I'm focusing.
Okay, ready
the
for
Ross
this
Ross Krzyzewski program? Is that what you said?
You can
never, ever have that as a last name. It'd have to be the Ross Allen Show.
Yes,
the Ross
it would,
Allen Show.
Because people
yes.
can't say Skorzewski.
Skorzewski. Okay.
The next email says, "Hi, Mark. I am 57 years old and have been a widow."
Me too.
You soon to be. Yes, you are.
But not a widow.
No, and I've been a widow for about 2.5 years. I was married for 33 years to an emotionally and sexually abusive man who was an alcoholic whom I loved, as hard as that is to believe. I came from an alcoholic home, so I didn't have any correct ideas about what a good loving marriage was. I have learned this and much more in counseling and Celebrate Recovery meetings. I have read many books on healthy relationships from Christian authors, but I still carry the old mind with me. The stain of 57 years of brainwashing doesn't fade so quickly. I know God is always there for me, but my flesh is still there also. My question is, which of your materials do you think would be the most helpful to me in this season of life? I would like to think that a healthy, loving relationship could be in my future, God willing, and I don't want to mess it up with embedding wrong ideas and past mistakes.
My best advice, it would be get my new DVD series entitled Stinking Thinking for Singles.
Mm, Singles and Stinking Thinking.
Singles and Stinking mm-hmm. Thinking, whatever it's called.
Yep.
And this would be very, very powerful for you. And I'm so excited. I think this is one of the most powerful things I've ever done in my life. This DVD series. If we could get I would that we had enough money to send one copy mm-hmm. of this DVD to every English-speaking church in the world and say, here, please take this, show this to your singles and give it out in counseling and do whatever. Because if we could correct the broken thinking
That's
of
right.
people before they get married, we could change the world.
When asked what I thought and what my opinion was after I watched you tape this, I said unequivocally it was the best thing that you have ever done.
Ah, you're just
Most
kissing
up. Powerful out. Content. No. Why would I do that? I don't even need to bother to do that.
You're just kissing up.
What? Why? Why would I say that? Why would I say that?
I don't know. Why are you taking everything so seriously?
I don't know. Why would I say that? I'm speaking the truth. I am speaking the truth. I don't know. Why am I taking everything so seriously?
I was just teasing.
Of course. Of course you were. I don't know. It said it must be PMSing or something here.
I hate that when that happens.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Lord.
This email says, I have a question that I've been pondering for quite some time that maybe you could give me advice on.
Sure.
Most of what you hear on the news is negative. I rarely watch the news because of this. Lately, I've been hearing about enough negative issues in my friends' and family's lives. How do you deal with knowing about people's issues? What I mean is, how do I not get bogged down by friends' and family's issues in their lives? I know Mark does or used to counsel, Ross mentors, and I'm sure you, Diane, deal with many people's problems as well. How do you all get by without going insane?
I tell you what, you know, there are some people who are just not equipped to being able to handle everybody else's caca.
You have to be able to separate it.
You have to not personalize it, you know, mm-hmm. just for crying out loud. Holy cow. you watch the news and you get all depressed and it overwhelms you. You go and do life with other people and you hear their caca and it overwhelms you and you just can't.
Some people aren't cut out.
That's a good point. That's a good sign, actually. If watching the news stresses you out, you got no business trying to counsel other people.
But
no.
Is she, this individual, placing themselves in a place to be?
Maybe, I don't know.
A
you know
counselor
how? It, no,
or
I don't think
advisor?
So. I just think in the natural course of life.
And just tell people to stop. You know what?
This is too
I love
hard for
you,
me.
But yeah, mm-hmm. I can't handle hearing all this stuff. I love you, but it taxes me. It really wears
but
me out.
But also realize it's not your problem to fix. You don't have to fix these people. You can just listen and go, oh, really? And you don't have to fix them.
I have no problem listening to people and all the craziness that goes on in the world. But I go home because I tell them, I actually tell people when I've sat down with them, I say, here's the cool thing about today. I said, I go home to my wife and my kids.
And I leave your problems
behind.
And I leave
your stuff here. So
I'm sure that they love to hear that.
It's going to be a great session. But, because how can you do this? Because some people get into it and they are just shipwrecked by hearing all
this
stuff that goes on.
That they can't handle it. It
reminds me of the two psychiatrists who share the same building, same office space, you know. And at the end of the day, the one psychiatrist came out and he was just stressed and bummed out after hearing all these people's problems. And the other guy just come out of his door just smiling and whistling and going on. Finally, the guy couldn't take it anymore. So he stops him and says, dude, how can you go home happy, so happy, after listening to all these problems all day long? And the psychiatrist looked at him and said, who's listening?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
But some people do. Some people put themselves out there because that's their way of, being validated, as they take on everybody else's problems. But, and then they just spiral out of control because they don't take care of themselves. But
yeah, you can't, but that's a good point, though. If the news stresses you out, then you should not be counseling people.
No. Exactly.
Because it's one thing to see people's problems from a distance. If that stresses you out, seeing them up close is going to just kill you.
Yep.
So
and you're not
going
to really have anything good to really say to them, probably.
Because you'll be freaked out.
Yeah.
This is actually easier for me than when I was teaching with kids, because when I saw some of the things that I experienced as a teacher with small children, it was really hard. Social services, guy using his daughter for child pornography, another guy pulling a gun and holding his family at gunpoint over Christmas vacation. the stuff that I was involved in, it would kill me because I wanted to take all these kids home. It was really hard especially when I was first teaching, because I personalized all of it and wanted to save all of them, and I had to learn I couldn't do it. I could not save all of these kids.
See, even when I worked in juvie, with these kids that were coming out of sex offending homes and stuff like that, that stuff never, ever.
That's because you're a cold-hearted snake.
This is so true. Look into my eyes. Uh-oh. It just doesn't. Just, like I said, not everybody's equipped to handle it.
Yeah. If you internalize everybody's problems, probably, join the choir. Do something else. Don't get involved in counseling.
No, because
all
it's
right,
there,
guys,
too.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, bye.
Have fun storming the castle.